Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today, and at the conclusion of the service, make sure you, say hello to your neighbor and make them feel welcome. There's also a special treat after church today. We all get to have some birthday cake and sing happy birthday to Helen Lewis, who is 90 today. Awesome. And her family surprised her. It's from Winnipeg, isn't it? Some of her family came from Winnipeg for this, so that is absolutely awesome. So anyway, the family's supplying the cake, and you're invited to join in, so come on, have a piece of cake, and we'll sing Helen Happy Birthday in the hall. I'll highlight some of the great announcements in the bulletin today. You can read up on them. The senior lunch is Tuesday. Come enjoy and have a good meal and a good time. Please read the Not Fake News. It's very good. You're familiar with that term? For Lent, you may want to join in this exercise of bringing a newspaper article and chatting about it over lunch. It is not just to moan and groan about how terrible the world is, but maybe to ask the age-old question, what would Jesus do, or how do we look at that issue through our eyes of faith? Then there's the upcoming rummage sale. Share the Warmth campaign is almost over, so if you want to bring some mitts and scarves, you need to do it before the end of the month. And for board members, don't forget it's this Tuesday night because it was canceled last Tuesday night because of that yucky thing called snow and ice and rain. I think Dick Milson has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Do you know what annual event is coming up in just over 2 weeks?
Yes.
The 16th time being offered. Does it have to do with food? Well, of course. This is Applebee. We always have to deal with food. Think of Chauve Tuesday. The 16th annual Applebee Family Pancake Supper is set for Tuesday, March the 5th, from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. And tickets go on sale today. You can be purchased in the hall after today's service, as well as the next two Sundays. The good news, prices have been kept at last year's level. $5 for children 12 and under, $10 for adults, and a $25 charge for two adults and more than two children. Although this event is well organized and many volunteers have stepped forward, we are in need of a few more folks who can be available on Tuesday, March the 5th, as backup resources in case we need you. If you can help out in this role, please talk to Shirley Gray. I'm looking for there, Shirley, okay. She will be in the hall, I'm sure, after church today, so please have a little chat with Shirley. She'd be happy to hear what you have to say. Thank you on behalf of the Pancake Planning Committee.
And for those of you on the cruise, I think to be in solidarity with us, you have to try and have pancakes on that day on the cruise, okay? Surely they must have pancakes. I mean, they have almost any kind of food there. Abra?
World Day of Prayer is a day to bring women from all churches together in prayer and action. Each year, women from different countries are featured. This year, we honor the women of Slovenia. These women have titled their service, Come, Everything is Ready. This is an invitation to the table. The service is always celebrated on the first Friday of March. This year, St. John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church is hosting the service. It will be on Friday, March 1st at 1:30. Only one service this year. This church is on the corner of Brant Street and Blair Home Avenue, across from the post office. All are welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Come and learn about this Central European country. their history, lifestyle, and concerns. This day is an opportunity to worship with the people from all denominations here in Burlington. I hope you will consider attending. Two posters will be put up with the information. Of course, refreshments will be served.
Thank you. And lastly, our thoughts and prayers go out to Brian and Sandra McFadgen this week in the loss of Brian's mother, Mary, on Friday. Visitation is Tuesday, February 19th. I think I put the 18th in the sad news. From 4 to 8 p.m. at Turner and Porter Funeral Home on here Ontario Street, north of the QEW. The funeral is on Wednesday from the same location at 11 a.m.
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship.
Let us now acknowledge God's presence in our midst. Blessed are those who trust in God. Fruit in all we do, and make our leaves ever green. Delight in God, meditate on God's law day and night.
We praise God's holy name and
come, let us worship. Let us pray. O God, great Creator,
show us how
to thank you
for the sustaining power of your creation.
O God, great O God, compassionate one,
enable us to sense your caring presence in the testing times and to
feel secure. O God, eternal hope,
grant us wisdom to believe that your love is for us in life and beyond life. Amen.
Big kids and small kids are welcome to come forward now for a children's story if they would like. A seat up here somewhere. That's okay. It's okay to be shy. I've handed out a picture this morning to the children, and it's one of Jesus with young, old, all alike around him. And I think you already have one, right? Okay, cool. You can take those back with you if you want to. Do you like story time? At home, do you ever have somebody read you a story? Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, this morning, I'm going to read you a story. And the story is about a time when Jesus had lots of different people around him. And it was outside, outdoors, and obviously with trees and sun and all those things. Jesus was really, really popular. And so if you're popular, what happens sometimes? If you saw a hockey star walking down the street, what do you think might happen? Do you think people would go and say hello to that hockey star and say, hi, you know, you play for Toronto. That's awesome. I hope you're Toronto fans, you know? So anyway, in the olden days, that was true too, except for it was Jesus. And people began to know him, and they say, wow, that's Jesus, let's go see him. And so this is a little story. People, they were all crowding to see him. Everywhere you look, you could see people. There were mothers and fathers, There were children and babies. There were grandparents, uncles and aunties. There were sad people and hurting people. There were sick people and lonely people. There were poor people and hungry people. Everyone had come to see Jesus. They had heard how kind and gentle Jesus was, and they all hoped that he could help them. Jesus looked around. He could see the hurt in many people's faces, and Jesus wanted to listen to them. Jesus wanted to give them God's blessing. He turned to his disciples and said, "Look at the hurting people who have no money. When you are poor, you will know God's blessing. God wants everyone to be. God doesn't want anyone to be without what they need. Look at the hurting people who do not have enough food. When you are hungry, you will know God's blessing. God doesn't want anyone to go without food. Look at the hurting people who are crying. When you are sad, you will know God's blessing. God doesn't want anyone to be sad. Look at the hurting people who feel they have no friends. When you are lonely, you will know God's blessing. God wants everyone to be cared for by their friends." The disciples thought about what Jesus said. Jesus was teaching them how to live together with love when everyone has food, clothes, a place to live, when everyone has a friend. Then everyone will be so happy, everyone will jump for joy. That's cool, eh? To think everyone will have a friend? Do you guys have some friends? It's pretty nice, isn't it? Well, this morning, this is here. It's a baptism font. And because near the end of the service, people will have an opportunity to come up and be blessed, just as this scripture said, when Jesus wants everyone to know God's blessing. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to work, to make these things in the story come true. Amen. Thank you for coming up. And you can come up again afterwards for a blessing too if you want. We're being very adventuresome today. Not only are we trying a healing service, we're trying a new song from More Voices. It's the soft-covered hymn book, number 12, Come Touch Our Hearts. Again, please focus and look at the words. Number 12, Come Touch Our Hearts. Come touch our minds and teach us how to
cup of peace, that we may love you with our heart and soul, our mind, our strength, our will. Come touch us with your grace.
Please be seated. As it is important in our day-to-day lives to take time of reflection and to say I'm sorry, so we mirror that in our service of worship through the prayers that follow. Let us pray. In the struggles of everyday living, you are with us, O God. In the support of family members, in the hard places of decision-making, when conflicts come between friends or at work,
you give us the desire to reconcile and the will to make a fresh start.
In the times of ill health or personal setback,
you give us the courage to endure and the strength to move forward hopefully.
When we have suffered loss, take a moment now to bring your own thoughts and concerns before God in prayer. Amen. Now let us rejoice in the assurance of God's never-ending love for us. When our confidence falters, you are there, O God.
You will not let us give up or stay disarmed, or we walk over or go down.
You affirm our worth in your sight and stand by us as you stood by Jesus. Amen. We're having our offering early today to kind of not interrupt the flow of things for the healing prayer at the end of the service. Healing has always been an important part in Jesus' ministry and the ministry of the church as the body of Christ in the world. Know that through your offering this morning, you are helping in the healing ministry of Jesus to continue in both word and deed. Thanks be to God. We'll now have our morning's offering.
His hands were kind hands, doing good to all, healing pain and sickness, blessing children small, washing tired feet and saving those who fall. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. Take my hands, O Jesus, let them work for you. Make me strong and gentle, kind in all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too. Till my hands are kind hands, quick to work for you.
Let us pray. Out of the grasp of our material world, we return some of the gifts you have given to us, O God, and pray that they, with Christ's help, may be used to improve and brighten life for others, nearby and far away, neighbors all. Amen. Please be seated.
We'll now have our scripture lessons this morning, our first one being from James. Oh! I always look around. It's wonderful. Thank you, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are any among you in trouble? They should pray. Are any among you happy? They should sing praises. Are any among you sick? They should send for the church elders, who will pray for them and rub oil on them in the name of the Lord. This prayer made in faith will heal the sick. The Lord will restore them to health, and the sins they have committed will be forgiven. So then, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. The prayer of a good person has a powerful effect. Amen.
Amen. We have two gospel lessons this morning. Both of them are from Luke. The first is from Luke chapter 4. It has happened after Jesus has been rejected at Nazareth. He went to his own hometown and preached on Sunday morning. And then he healed a person with an evil spirit. And now we continue on. It's entitled, Jesus Heals Many People. Jesus left the synagogue and went to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, and they spoke to Jesus about her. He went and stood at her bedside and ordered the fever to leave her. The fever left her, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. After sunset, all who had friends who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He placed his hands on every one of them and healed them all. Demons also went out from many people, screaming, "You are the Son of God." Jesus gave the demons order and would not let them speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus left the town and went off to a lonely place. The people started looking for him, and when they found him, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news about the kingdom of God in other towns also, because that is what God sent me to do." So he preached in the synagogues throughout the country. And our second gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. And I believe many of us are familiar with the title, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel, and the Beatitudes, blessed are those who. Luke doesn't have a Sermon on the Mount. He has a Sermon on the Plain. It's another whole story why it's on a plain as opposed to a mountain. And he also has a Beatitude as well, and it's a little different, and we'll hear from it this morning. Verse 17, when Jesus had come down from the hill with the apostles, he stood on a level place with a large number of disciples. A crowd of people was there from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from the coast cities of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled by evil spirits also came and were healed. And all the people tried to touch him, for power was going out from him and healing them all. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and say you are evil, all because of the Son of Man. Be glad when that happens and dance for joy, because a great reward is kept for you in heaven. For their ancestors did the very same things to the prophets. How terrible for you who are rich now, you have had your easy life. How terrible for you who are full now, you will go hungry. How terrible for you who laugh, you will mourn and weep. How terrible when all people speak well of you, their ancestors did the very same things about the false prophets. Thanks be to God for these words. Now this morning, in our anthem, the choir is asked that you, the congregation, join in the singing of the fifth and final section, and the words will appear up on the screen at that time.
Oh,
hopefully we have words for the next hymn, which is 273 in Voices United, the King. Oh, my sermon's first. Boy, we are going through things very quickly today. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever tried something new? Anybody ever tried something new? Thank you. How many of you have ever been a little nervous when you tried something new? Absolutely. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is God's healing touch. And I want to thank you for gathering together in worship today. Today you will learn a little bit about prayer. If there's a connection between prayer and getting better. And as I told in my email on Thursday, doing this healing service is something new for me, and so I'm feeling a little nervous about it here this morning. Maybe that's why I skipped over the sermon. I don't know. So my question for you this morning is, tell a person around you of a time when you tried something new. How did you feel about trying it? And I guess, how did it work out? So find someone you usually don't talk to, introduce yourself, and share a time you tried something new. Go for it. Please stop. Thank you. From the noise, we must have a lot of adventurous spirits among us because you've all tried some things that are new. And you can continue talking about it at coffee. For morning devotions this week, I am going to ask you to read the stories between our first gospel lesson in Luke, in chapter 4, on through to the second gospel lesson in chapter 6. That first passage this morning gives a very good summary of Jesus' ministry. He goes to the synagogue regularly, he heals people, and he preaches the good news about the kingdom of God from place to place. Now, when you read chapter 5, you will read of two healing stories. How many healing stories? Thank you. The first, a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease. Sir, if you want to make me clean, you can. And I love Jesus' response. I want to be clean. I take great comfort from those words. I also draw from them, in a sense, God's desire that all people be made well or made whole. Well, that begs the question then, why are there so many sick people in body, mind, or spirit? Why doesn't God just heal everyone? That may also be a question in Jesus' day as well as our own. Because the next morning in our passage, Jesus gets up and goes to a lonely place. I like to add, to pray. He needs to rejuvenate mind, body, and spirit. It often says the power goes out of him. So he needs to restore himself. People find him, and then they try and stop him from going to Capernaum, from leaving Capernaum. I can almost hear them say, you know, there's more sick people that need to be made well. Please notice Jesus' response. It wasn't, bring them here to me. It was, I need to leave here because I must preach the good news of the kingdom in other towns. So that was his primary mission, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. So much need, so few resources. Now this morning I want to ask you, what do you usually do when you're not feeling well? Lie down, thank you. Anything else? Go to the doctor, thank you. Anything else? Sleep, thank you. Rest, let your body rejuvenate. Anything else? Pray together, thank you. To get better. Go to the emergency. Anybody ever made a trip to the emergency? I see someone shaking their head. They're very lucky. You know. Absolutely. Those are some of the things we do. Now you need to know, Jesus lived in a pre-scientific age. And people in his age believed there was a connection between sin and sickness. And that is why in the second healing story in chapter Luke, when Jesus heals a paralyzed man, religious authorities, he says to them, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? I will show you the Son of Man has authority to do both. Now, besides seeing your doctor, going to emergency, you know, take 2 aspirin and see me in the morning. Isn't that what they have on the answering machine? We are asked in the book of James. James tells the members of his congregation that if anyone is sick, you are to call for the elders of the church and come and pray for you and to rub oil on you in the name of the Lord. Wow, that is something we really don't do very much in the United Church. Please notice from this passage from James, it also talks about confessing your sins and your mistakes to one another so you might be healed. Now, while healing services are not very familiar in the United Church of Canada, you need to know that the pastoral prayer today, as well as the words that will be used in the blessing later on in the service, are out of a newer United Church of Canada service book called Celebrate God's Presence. Some of you have used it when you've been looking for prayers, when you've done services in the summertime. I was very surprised once at a workshop when I heard studies have been done that show that people who are prayed for often recover quicker from an operation than those that don't. Amazing. Do you also know that there is a correlation between having a positive attitude in your life and your immune system? Building up your immune system. Wow. Confessing your sins to one another, praying for one another. I can almost hear you saying now, Al, you're going way off the radar screen for us good, timid United Church folks. And I don't disagree with you. It's not something I do often either. The author of the book of James makes an interesting point. Both through messing up, making mistakes, confessing our sins, and becoming ill, we often become isolated from the community of faith. In the case of illness, we may end up in hospital or be sick at home, be in a nursing home, and then again are isolated from gathering together here Sunday morning from worship. And so both the act of confessing our sins to one another and by the one who is sick. Notice the one who is sick is told to ask the elders of the church to come and pray for them. Through both those acts, community is restored. You're restored back to the community. Both these acts involve risks, though. They make us vulnerable. We share our weaknesses, whether it be through thoughtless acts or a body that just doesn't work right anymore. And it is by becoming vulnerable, asking for prayer, whether it's because we've made mistakes or we are ill, that we make some room in our life for God's Spirit to be at work. The Good News Bible translates the Beatitudes as happy. And I think that's what was on the screen. And I just flipped it to blessed because that's what most of us are used to. Luke's gospel is very different. And that's maybe why it's not included in the lectionary readings often. It's very direct. Blessed are the poor. It's not poor in spirit, as it says in Matthew. Blessed are the hungry. It's not those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again, as it is in Matthew's gospel. The Greek prefix, mak, that Luke uses means becoming larger. Perhaps God extends God's benefits by extending us, making our hearts and our circles of care larger than they once were. Being connected or reconciled to one another, again, draws the circle wider. It stretches us and helps us to grow. And I think the author of the book of James knew this. That is why he is suggesting to the congregation actually to sing together as we do through our hymns and to pray together, whether it be because you've messed up or because you are ill in body or spirit. Now, praying for those who are ill, I find always difficult. What do you pray for? I think many of us have prayed for people who have had cancer or other some serious disease, and they have had to learn to live with it. They have may not have been healed in a physical sense. But I think part of prayer is opening us to the mystery that is both God and his life, opening us up to a larger grace that may help us through the illness. Also, I often pray for wisdom and compassion for the doctors and nurses and caregivers who are helping the person who is ill. I will never forget what a doctor from Queens told a bunch of us theologues one afternoon. He came over from the medical school to the old arts building. He says, "Everyone think we, quote, the doctors, are the miracle workers." He said, "That's not true. All we can do is set the conditions right to give the body a chance to heal itself." That was a huge insight for me. All we can do is try and set the conditions right for the body to heal itself. Now, this doesn't mean not taking advantage of the best medical science can offer. But it does mean, I believe, trying to do our part to become less anxious. Anxiety robs our body of its much-needed energy to heal itself. For me, becoming less anxious is trusting in a loving, caring Creator regardless of the outcome. Or as Paul says in Romans 14:8, so whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So how do you better ground yourself in God's love? Anybody have suggestions of what has worked for you? What works for you to keep you grounded in God's love and God's grace?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Thank you. That positive attitude. Gratitude. Awesome. Anything else?
So much is good in life.
So much is good. Absolutely. Thank you. Music, thank you. Volunteering, absolutely. Helping others, huge, very big.
Worry only about things you have control over.
Worry only about things you have control over. Leave the rest to God. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. What about what you're doing now? Gathering together with others, worshiping together. Who have a faith, singing hymns together, as James says, praying together, learning to say, I'm sorry. That is why in our service of worship, each week we have a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry, to remind us and to give us practice. Om devotion times, going on spiritual walks or walks in the woods. They're called spiritual disciplines. And it's what the Bullseye, Aiming to Follow Jesus book we looked at a couple years ago, was all about. And I have a couple still on my shelf if you're interested. It's also why we have sacraments, the bread and wine, baptism, visible signs of God's invisible grace. And that's why we're having this healing service today, where you are invited to come forward for a blessing. Illness takes many forms. Physical illness, mental illness, all kinds of illnesses. And in Jesus' day, many illnesses were described by the word demons. To know we are loved at the core of our being, I think, can help take away some of our anxiety in life. And yes, it helps that our love has skin on. Through a neighbor, a friend, a family, life partner, a community of faith. It also helps if we learn that skin also to be our own. That we learn how to love ourselves. To take it easy on ourselves, to worry, as was said, only about those things I can do something about. Transforming our image of God to a loving and caring creator, one who loves us without condition and also helps us to love ourselves. Again, that doesn't mean we don't do our exercises or listen to doctors or take our medicine on time or learn to say I'm sorry. Or take responsibilities for our mistakes and our parts of the problems. I just find it easier to do those things when I know that I am loved beyond measure by this spirit that is beyond our imagination, that binds the universe together, as Yoda says, if you're a Star Wars fanatic, or we in the church traditionally call God. So this healing prayer or blessing is just another concrete physical reminder that the church has to remind us we are loved beyond measure. Words spoken at Jesus' baptism, and we need to say for ourselves, you are my own dear child in whom I'm well pleased, that God says to us. That you are loved beyond measure regardless of the challenges you face and regardless of whether you are baptized or not. So after the hymn today, after the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer, you'll have an opportunity, if you want, to come forward and to hear the words, your name, and then in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and peace of God's love in your life, and a sign of the cross is made on your forehead, the same sign that is made at baptism. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is actually a very old hymn. It's a rendition of the 23rd Psalm that many people take comfort from. It is entitled, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and it's number 273 in Voices United, 273. Please be seated. In our pastoral prayer today, when you hear the phrase, and it is in the bulletin, "Jesus Christ, lover of all," your response is, "Bring healing and peace." So let's try it. Jesus Christ, lover of all. So listen for those words in the prayer, please. Thank you. Let us pray. Christ our God, long ago in Galilee, many were sick and suffering, needed friends to bring them to your side. Confident of your goodness, we now bring to those who need your healing touch. In the silence of our hearts, we name before you those who are ill in body, whose illness is long or painful or difficult to cure, who suffer restless days and sleepless nights. Jesus Christ, lover of all. In the silence of our hearts, we name before you those who are troubled in mind, distressed by the past, or dreading the future, those who are trapped and cast down by fear. Jesus Christ, lover of all,
bring healing, bring peace.
In the silence of our hearts, we name before you those whom light has been turned to darkness by the death of a loved one, the breaking of a friendship, the fading of hope. Jesus Christ, lover of all, we ask your blessing on doctors and nurses, on all who look after those who are ill, who give friendship to those who are distressed, or sit with those who are near death. Jesus Christ, lover of all, we ask for your guidance for those who are engaged in medical research, that they may persevere with vision and energy, and for those who administer the agencies of health and welfare, that they may have wisdom and compassion. Jesus Christ, lover of all.
Amen.
Loving God, the care of every soul is in your hands. The care of every sickness comes from you. We do not know your will for us. If by our lives your grace may be made known, then in us, through us, and even in spite of us, your kingdom come, your will be done. This we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. June and I will represent the elders of the congregation this morning, and in a moment you will be asked to come forward if you desire to hear a blessing. You are asked to say your name, and that corresponds to the request in James that you ask the elders of the church for prayer. So come forward, say your name, we will make a sign of the cross on your forehead and say these words. And we'll do it first. Alan,
in the name of Jesus Christ, know that the healing power of and the peace of God's love in your life.
Thank you. Say your name.
June,
in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and peace of God's love in your life. Amen. You're invited to come forward. If you cannot come forward and you would still like to receive a blessing, mention it to a person beside you and we will come to you. June, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen. David, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen.
Michael.
Patricia, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and peace of God's love in your life. Amen. Shirley, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power of God's peace and love in your life. Amen. Carol, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen. Diane, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen. Chris, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen. Wendy Lewis, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Cindy, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen. John, in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen.
Asta,
in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and peace of God's love in your life. Amen.
Helen Lewis.
In the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen.
Alex Ross.
In the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and the peace of God's love in your life. Amen.
That was my sister Helen ahead of me.
Oh, cool. Oh, I better turn this off. Let me turn this off. Okay. We'll now close with another old-time hymn. It's called Amazing Grace. It's in Voices United, number 266, Amazing Grace. Lived your lives rooted in him, rooted in the body of Christ or the church, established in faith and abounding in thanksgiving and love, now and forever.